Pastor Brandon is playing Iron Man football today. He's both leading worship and giving the sermon. He's playing both sides of the ball today. And we're thankful for him. Would you welcome Pastor Brandon as he comes to share God's word with us this morning?
Thank you. Good morning. Morning, Fellowship Hall. Hey, it's going to be a great day. I believe God's got a great word he wants to share with us. In fact, he's been sharing, and I really want to take today to explain what this season of rain is all about. Back in June, we had a time where God shared this word. He shared that he wants to bring a rain to Cornerstone. But for most of us, that really has no practical or, actual working out in our lives. I mean, what does that look like? What does it look like for God to rain? And what is God trying to accomplish? You know, I think that's the more important thing. What does God's rain do? What does it produce? What does it accomplish? And so I think today I want to unpack that. You know, we've heard a lot of questions in the last few weeks as God's been speaking to us about this season of, you know, what is it for? What's God doing? You know, is God going to send his rain so we could be a bigger church? Well, you know, I think God could do that, but I don't really think that's what God's rain is for. Is God going to send his rain so that we can, you know, experience his presence and have this unforgettable service and none of us want to go home? Is that kind of what this is for? Well, you know, I do hope that we experience God's presence in that kind of way. But I think when we look at scripture, we see that's not really all it's for. Sure, I think that could happen. In fact, I'm praying that God does move in our services in such a way that we're all on our faces. I pray that for every Sunday. But it's never about the service. This is just a beginning of what God wants to do in our everyday. You know, is God's reign about everyday change? Is God's reign about everyday Jesus being the sinner? Is it about an everyday experience of walking in greater faith and seeing God's greater faithfulness? You know, is God's reign about walking in greater trust every day and seeing God's greater transformation? I think that's when we see the scripture, that's what God's reign is all about. And so we're going to look at that. Along with this being a season of rain, we've really had this word as leadership that this is a season for Cornerstone to press in. This call that we do more, we have to press in. And so what does that mean? You know, Pastor Sean spoke last week and told us we have to press past our rituals, our fears, and our limitations. But how do we press in? What does it look like for you to press in tomorrow at work, or at home, or with your family tonight? How are you pressing in? My hope is that today we'll answer those questions. And here's the thing. Here's what I believe. I believe that if we will receive God's word for us today, and if we will accept with faith and with anticipation these challenges that God has given us, I believe that God's reign will produce something greater and beyond anything we could imagine. This isn't just, you know, fluffy pastor talk. I really believe, hear this, if you don't hear anything yet, God wants to send his rain in such a way that it would be greater and beyond Cornerstone. That our community would be changed forever because of his rain. And not just years and decades down the road, not just in some other distant land or distant time, but today. That this is a word of God's rain for today. But here's the catch. The proportion of the increase of God's reign is absolutely in our hands. Let me say that again. The proportion of the increase of God's reign in this season is absolutely in our hands. God has given us this incredible God-given capacity to affect how God moves in this season of rain. You know, another sermon I wanted to preach to you today, I'm not going to get a chance to, although you're going to get a snippet of it, is this. It's a biblical principle. We see it all over scripture. I want to share this with you. It's at the top of your notes. You'll see this. It says, God is absolutely sovereign. In other words, God is all powerful. He's in complete control. But in his sovereignty, God chooses to work out his will on earth through people. God works through people. He works his sovereign will, his perfect, all powerful will through people. It's all over the Bible. You know, we see God told Moses, hey, I've heard my people crying in Egypt. They're in bondage. I want to deliver my will. My desire is to deliver them. So go. I'm sending you to do my will. God looked at Esther in a season when God's people was about to be annihilated. And God spoke to Esther and said, "Oh, Esther, I have chosen you for this strategic time." We know the verse, "For such a time as this to go do my will." God cleansed Isaiah. We saw it in chapter 6. He cleansed his heart. He cleansed who he was. Isaiah was in the presence. And God looked down at Isaiah and he said, "Isaiah, I've got a word of judgment and a word of hope to proclaim, not just to my people, but to the whole world. Who will go for me? Who will do my will?" And Isaiah had to respond and say, "Here I am." God looked down at Jesus and he says, "Jesus, it is my will." You know it. "It's my will that all men and women, all people on earth, every generation, no matter their sin, no matter their background, that all of them could come to know me, that they would be born again in my spirit, that they would have a chance to walk with me again. But Jesus, Son of Man, you've got to carry out that will. You have got to carry out that cross." God works through people. Consider your own salvation. There is plenty of scriptures in the Bible where it talks about how God desires that all people would come to know him, that all people, his desire, his passion is to see every man and woman be saved from death and hell and be brought into God's kingdom. But we all know it. I'm the only one who can make that choice for me. You can't make that choice for me. My parents can't make that choice for me. My kids can't. My family, people can't pray for me. That happens. I have to do that myself, right? God won't even do it for me. He's done all the work, but I still got to be one to receive it. Amen? It's a biblical principle. God is absolutely sovereign, absolutely powerful. And yet, in his sovereignty, he said, "I'm going to work out my will through people." Understand this, Cornerstone. In this season of rain, the proportion of the increase of God's reign is absolutely in our hands. We have one chance to touch this community. We have one life to reach this generation. Our earthly life, it's just a season. It has an end to it. Much like what we're going to see in Scripture, God's seasons of rain. God's season of rain doesn't come forever. It doesn't just rain forever. It's not arbitrarily given. God doesn't just kind of, you know, sit up there and flippantly say, "Okay, let's rain, let's not, let's rain, let's not." No. God's seasons of rain in Scripture are strategic. They're specific. They have a specific purpose and a specific time. We are going to see in Scripture that his reign doesn't last forever. And you and I, we must respond. If you're a guest with us here today, if you weren't here back when God began speaking this word to us in June, don't check out. Don't worry. I sincerely believe that this word is as much for you in your season of life as it is for our church, for our body, as Cornerstone. And if not, God would have let you sleep in today. Or he would have told that person not to drag you here. Whatever the case, however you got here, God's got this word for you. So, are you ready to learn about, from Scripture, God's seasons of rain? Ready to receive it? All right, here we go. So, God's seasons of rain. In Scripture, we see this. There are two specific seasons of rain, and they both serve different purposes. The first is this, the early rain. The early rain, that's your first blank on your handout. If you got that, pull that out. It'll help you along. The early rain, and here's the purpose of that. Its purpose is to soften the sun-baked soil, allowing the farmer to plant his seed. In Palestine, where the Israelites lived in that time, when this was written about in Scripture, they understood this rain. It would happen in autumn for them. It was a fall rain. And it was a specific season that the Palestinian, the Israelite farmer, absolutely depended on. They had to have it because if that rain didn't fall, remember, they lived in an area, if there was farmland, everywhere around it was sun-baked, it was dry, it was a desert place. They depended on this rain to just soften the soil just enough so that they could go in and plant a seed. They had to have it. It didn't matter if it rained all spring, if it didn't rain in the autumn, their seeds wouldn't get in the ground. Okay? They depended on this rain. In the Bible, when this is used about talking about God's rain, when it's spoken about, it's this, that God uses this rain to soften the soil of our hearts to receive his word, to receive his work, and to receive his spirit. But this is not the rain that Isaiah speaks about. This isn't the rain that God's spoken over Cornerstone. It's a rain that happens. It's a rain that'll happen in each one of our lives. It's a cycle that'll happen in each one of our lives. But this isn't the cycle we're in. Okay? We see this rain metaphor in other prophets. We see it in other teachings of the New Testament. But this is not the same season for Cornerstone. We're in this second season of rain, which is called the latter rain. Now, I know for most of us, we hear latter rain and automatically we think end times. You know, you go to a Christian bookstore and you see a book called Latter Rain. You know exactly what they're talking about. Armageddon and the rain and dreams and all this kind of stuff. Now, that's true, but that's not the only way it's used in the Bible. Talk about the latter rain. The latter rain, it refers to this. It refers to a spring rain which matures the crops and makes them ready for harvest. It's a spring rain. In reference to God's work in us, this is a specific season of God's reign in which he pours out his spirit, increasing growth, increasing spiritual fruit, and increasing harvest. I'd like to show you two pictures to help you illustrate this, these two seasons of rain. The first one, that's my garden. Any of my attempts at gardening, that's kind of what it turned out to be. This is a picture, we all know it, it's corn, right? And you can tell, in this season of rain, it's supposed to be a season of rain, but it's not every day. This plant did not receive enough rain, neither did the ones around them, for an everyday rain, right? There wasn't much maturing, there wasn't much harvest that could happen from that. But let me show you this other picture. This is the farmland in front of my parents' house. That's my Jody, my daughter. She's 3 years old down there at the bottom. And that's 12-foot tall corn. 12-foot tall. That's pretty scary when you're driving through it and there's these two walls of corn. And there's like, they live in like, I don't know, in the Garden of Eden. I mean, there's like deer and fox and it's really weird. But they hop out at you all the time. You're freaking out. But anyway, so you've got this tall corn. That's because, and the reason the corn got like this is because it rained every other day. No joke, this year. This was taken 4th of July. Every other day it rained at my parents' house. That corn was matured. That rain did what the corn could never do by itself. And matured it and made it ready for harvest. So, let me say it again. God said this is a season of rain, absolutely. But the proportion of the increase of God's rain is in our hands. It's supposed to be an everyday rain. It's not an every Sunday rain. It's not an every once in a while. It's not a once back in June, God said it. Okay, he rained then. Okay, that's it. No. A season of rain that God's declaring when he uses it in scripture, it's a season. It has a beginning and an end. And what he desires is for it to look like that. He desires for the increase, for the fruit to be tall, to be mature, and to be ready for harvest. Amen? In the Bible, in this season of rain, this latter rain is all about an exponential growth. His added outpouring of the Spirit, it takes our seeds, it takes our pressing in, and it exponentially increases the transformation beyond what we could ever obtain by ourselves. I want to show you on the front of your sermon notes, you'll see there's some scriptures. In this season of rain God has given us, he's given us some scriptures. We read this one this week, Isaiah 30, verse 23. Then he will give you rain for the seed, which you will sow in the ground, and bread from the yield of the ground, and it will be rich and plenteous. We heard this word, Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Ask for rain from the Lord at the time of the spring rain. The Lord who makes the storm clouds, and he will give them showers of rain vegetation. Isn't that crazy? That's the word group that's used, rain vegetation. In other words, rain of the type that will produce growth in the field of each man's heart, each man and woman's. Hosea 6, chapter 3. So let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. This is the season of God's reign. This is what he's declared over Cornerstone. And we're going to look in the Bible at these different themes. When God would send his reign, how would his people respond? I'm going to pull from the passages and the scriptures, mainly from Isaiah, because that's what we're reading through. That's what we're trying to live out every day. But these themes are all seen all throughout the Bible. And these seeds, this pressing in, is what it means to press into God and allow him to work and bring an increase. So, What does God's reign increase in us? Number one, it increases God's life. God's life. You'll see on the back of your handout that blank in this scripture. It says, when the Spirit is poured on us from on high, the deserts become a fertile field, and the fertile field seems like a forest. See, in this season of rain, God is looking directly at our deserts. He's looking at the places in our hearts that are dry and dead. He's looking at the places that haven't been touched, the places that are barren, the places that are alone, the places that are isolated in our hearts and our lives and our homes. God wants to speak to our deserts. He wants to bring an increase, his life. The scriptures are beautiful. He wants to take a desert and he wants to transform it from something that was dry and dead into something that's fertile and abundant. He wants to take those places in your life that are life-taking and he wants to make them life-giving. That's his desire in a season of rain. So how do you press in? What seeds must you plant to see an increase of God's life in your deserts? This is how you press in. You pray where it's dead and dry. Pray where it's dead and dry. Zechariah 10, we just looked at it, man. In a season of rain, pray for rain. And here's the thing. You pray where it's dead and dry. Not about what's dead and dry. Not just for those places that are dead and dry. You need to walk into that desert. And you need to plant those seeds so God can make it a fertile land. You need to walk in the desert, the place in your heart. You need to open it up, expose it to the Lord, and say, God, you know this is a desert place. You know this is dry. Come and make it rain, because I can't do it anymore. Some of you, you guys, you've done this. You've been praying for your marriage. You've been praying that God would restore and redeem. You were praying that it would become, stop being life-taking, and it would start becoming life-giving. That's what you've been praying for your marriage. This is a season to press in prayer. This is the season to press in. You don't even have to know what you want God to do, what kind of transformation you're looking for. You don't have to give God a list of the things he needs to change in your spouse. That probably won't work, right? You just need to hold hands with your spouse and say, God, you said this is a season of rain. You see this desert place in our lives. Transform it. Do what you can do. I can't do anything else. You've got to trust in God's word. You've got to trust. He said this is a season of rain. He wants to make a fruit that is mature and ready for harvest. For some of you, I believe this, man, it's your workplace. That place is sucking you dry of life. But I don't think that's what God wanted. I don't care who's there. I don't care what the environment's like. I don't care. I know it's a lot of hours, and I know we live in our workplaces, but God wants to take that desert place, and in this season, he wants to transform it to something life-giving. Are we praying? Are we asking God to do that? Would you go where it's dead and dry and pray? Go to your cubicle. Go to your job site. Go in your car. Go in your office, whatever it is, and ask God, God, you've got to change this place. You've got to make it life-giving. I do believe there's a specific word for those of you who have prayed for healing, or you've prayed for salvation of a loved one, or you've prayed for breakthrough in a sin habit in your life, and there's been no fruit. And there's almost been this letdown, this disappointment. God, you know, I prayed, I did my part. What happened? And I'll tell you the honest truth, I have no idea. I don't know what God was doing. I'm not saying it's something you did or something God did or didn't do or whatever. I'm just saying in this season of rain, God's saying, hey, come back. Let's pray again. Plant that seed again. I know it's a desert place, but this is a season of rain. Some of you have a son or a daughter at home who's not walking with the Lord. They're caught and bound in lies and sin. You need to go into their room and pray where it's dead and dry. Ask God to send the rain. God has declared it to be a season of rain. So let's pray. And let's not just pray once. Remember the corn that's 12 foot tall. That came because a rain took place every other day. Let's do that. Let's pray with a sense of God coming every day in our lives. Pray daily. Pray boldly. Pray persistently. Pray confidently. Pray with faith. Pray with hope. Pray with urgency. Pray with trust. In this season of rain, pray like you never pray. And watch God be faithful to his word. Number two, what does God's reign increase in us? It increases God's presence. God's presence. Now that's a word I want to be real careful with, because we say it a lot in this church. We talk about God's presence and worship. We believe God is present with us. But it can have a sense of vagueness to it. A sense of, you know, I don't really grasp what God's presence is or what it does. And so I want to explain that a little bit. I want to make sure we're not just, again, passionate about God and you know, not understanding what we're saying or praying for anyway. I want to make sure we understand God's presence. And I think some of it is highlighted here in this verse, Isaiah 33. It says, look, when the Lord comes, when he comes in his reign, he will fill us with his righteousness and his justice. He will be the sure foundation for our times, a rich store of salvation, of wisdom, of knowledge. That's the increase of God's presence. It fills us with his character, his righteousness, his justice. It fills us with a sense of guidance. It's a daily closeness, a daily walk with the Lord. When God reigns in Scripture, when he reigns in this season in people's lives, we see them walk more closely with God than ever before. The guidance, the salvation is there, but the wisdom is there, the understanding is there. The ability to see through a valley that you're walking through, the ability to handle the battle that you're in, that's the kind of God's presence that comes and it increases in a season of rain. So how do you press in? Simply do the right thing. Do the right thing. Just do in your heart what you know God wants you to do. Do the right thing. Walk. If God's going to increase righteousness, do what's right. Press in. There are places where it's just been hard. It's been done before. It's, you know, you just don't know. God wants you to do the right thing. God wants to produce a fruit above and beyond what you could ever do on your own. You know, we know that passage in Galatians 5 where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. All that's because of a daily infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives to produce a fruit we couldn't on our own. In this season of rain, we need to do what we know in our hearts we're supposed to be doing. Here's what it says in Isaiah 33, verse 6. After all those promises that he gives, he continues to say, but look, the fear of the Lord is the key to those treasures I just mentioned. The fear of the Lord, meaning that I trust and I apply God's way above my own. I trust and I apply God's way above my own. In other words, if God says something about how I'm supposed to live, that, what he says, overrides what I think on the matter. If God says, this is how I should steward my finances, it doesn't matter that there's an economic desert. Yes, it's there. Yes, God sees it. And he says, it doesn't matter. This is my way. Do what's right. And you'll see an increase above what you can do. If God says the way to get rid of my sin habit is to walk into light and to confess my struggles to someone else, then I'm going to trust and apply his principles, overriding my fears and my insecurities. In this season of rain, if you will press in doing the right things, God will bring an increase of his presence, his character, his guidance, his daily voice in your everyday life. He will become that sure foundation, that cornerstone, that center in your life. He will be the rich store for all you need. And finally, what does God's reign increase in us? It increases God's power. God's power. Isaiah 40 verse 10 says this. It says, look, when in the context of this scripture, it's talking about the coming of the Lord, the reign of the Lord. It says, see, the sovereign Lord, when he comes with power. We know the verse in Acts 1 that when we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us, and we will become witnesses. We will be transformed into witnesses for the Lord. When God reigns, it can turn our gatherings on Sunday mornings. It can change those. When his power comes, it can absolutely transform what we experience on a Sunday morning together as a body. No doubt, no joke. And not because of a great service, not because of a great worship song, not because of an emotional move, but because of an eternal experience of God's power. That's why. But it even goes beyond that. To shake up the familiarity of our lives, our familiarity with God, to shake up our rituals and our habits, our routines, all that gets shaken when God comes in power. So how do we press in? How do we press in to see an increase of God's power in our life? We must live every day in burning faith. Live every day in burning faith. We must act on God's word with urgency. We've got to believe that he desires to reveal his power and his glory to the world. See, faith is not about what I believe, what I conjure up. You know, this whole sense of, I don't know if you guys do it, but just, you know, trying to force it out there. That's not faith. Faith is not about how much power I have. It's about what he says. We are going to read it this week when you read through Isaiah in the chapter 42. God says this, look, here's what I do. I do a new thing and I say it before I do it. God's a God who doesn't lie. It says that in Titus and in 1 Timothy. He's a God who when he declares something, it's going to happen. So when I have faith in God, that's where the power is. I don't have faith in my ability. I don't have faith in my call. I don't have faith in my words. I don't have faith in the act of my prayer. I have faith in God and his act. He is sovereign. He will do what he says. So my faith is to believe, to stand, to burn in me beyond my hesitations, burn through my hesitations, beyond my fears, burn through my fears. That's the faith we must live in every day. I believe this really the meaning of that first word we received back in June from Isaiah 19. It's that word we heard, you know, come, reason with me now. I want to make you white as snow. And then God gives this promise. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat of the land. Here's the breakdown of that promise. Here's a study of this word, just real briefly, my translation. The words mean this. If you are willing without protest, without delay, if you are willing without excuse, the word literally is a word for breathing. If you will just take in what I say. Not try to question it, not try to look at it, overanalyze it, you know. But if you will take in what I say, breathe it in, be willing to receive it without protest. And if you will obey what you hear, not what you know, not what you heard, the direct word is that you obey what you hear. Come, I want to wash your crimson and your stain. I want to make you white as snow. I want to give you a fresh word in this season of rain. If you will receive it willing, if you will have a faith that believes in me and my word, and if you will be obedient to what you hear, you will see an increase. You will eat of the land. You will see and experience an increase. That's what it means. And I believe God wants us to live every day in this season, hearing his voice, following his lead with a faith that burns through every fear and every hesitation. Even today, I believe God wants to increase his power, move in power. And I'm standing here in burning faith to declare it to you. I told you earlier, I wanted to share a sermon that, I had it all outlined out. I was very proud of myself. A couple weeks ago, I knew what I was going to speak, but the Lord really moved on my heart and said, no, you've got to share about how they press in the season of rain. Here's what I believe, man. We can't sing worship songs with words we don't understand, and we can't pray prayers with, you know, God rain, and we don't know what we're asking for. But I believe God brought us here today to speak to us, to show us this is what it means to ask for rain. This is what it means to press into my call and my word for your season. And I believe today, like I said, as I was preparing for this sermon, before I even had it together, before God said anything, the very first thing he said to me was, Brandon, I want to bring freedom from pain. Freedom from pain. And I believe that today, more than a word, more than just teaching, I believe God wants to increase his power here. And I want to stand in burning faith to declare over your hearts that if you're here today and God's already, just hearing that word, it's already been highlighted, there's a pain in your life, a dark place, a dry desert place. It's been there, you know it, there's a pain. God is speaking today to say, I want to bring freedom. I want to bring freedom. That's not my call, that's not my thought, that's not, you know, my idea. This is the word of the Lord, and I stand in faith because he said it, and he's a God who doesn't lie. If he's going to bring freedom, he's going to bring freedom. And so I want us to respond to that. I want to call us to a church, as a church, to respond and believe. This altar was filled this morning with people who responded to that prayer, and at the end we asked, okay, who received freedom? Who received a release from the Lord? And there were literally hands all over this congregation of people who today experience the reign and the increase of God's power. I believe if God said he's going to do it, God said he wants to do it, he'll do it today. I believe he'll do it here, right now. Fellowship Hall, I believe God will do it there, right now. God wants to send his reign. And I don't even know what your pain is. I mean, God didn't give me an individual word. It might be a physical pain. It might be an emotional pain. It might be a pain that's been there for years. It's not even painful anymore. It's just a scar. And God's coming to you and saying, today I want to set you free from that. Pains that run your life. Pains that control what you do and how you act. God wants to set us free. You might have come down a few weeks ago when our missionary Scott Zier asked for healing. And if you came down and God still hasn't worked that in your life, I believe God said, I mean, this is just a prayer he's given me. Hey, I want you to come again. Come again. Press in. Pray for an everyday rain, not just a once. And see what happens? No. We press in through prayer. We pray where it's dead and dry. And so if that's you today and you know that God wants to bring a freedom to your pain, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to stand where you are. Fellowship Hall, stand where you are and come down to the altar as a step of pressing into the Lord and believing for him to set you free from pain. Go ahead and stand now. If that's you, stand now. Come to the altar. Don't do it on my call. This is not about me. This is about trusting and believing in God's word and his faithfulness. Amen. 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 God loves it when his people respond. Oh, God loves it when his people come to him. He's a father, man. He's a father to your heart. He's a good God. He's not going to lead you astray. Amen. Church, this is our family. Church, here in this room, there's a pit of darkness, a pit of pain that's been here, that's controlled lives, that's bound lives. But our God is a God of light. And when he speaks to darkness and he speaks to something that's controlling and says, hey, I want my light to shine there, he does it. Amen. We're going to agree together with our body. We're going to agree together for our church. If you're here in the sanctuary, if you're there in the fellowship hall, we're going to begin and pray together, press in together. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give a little instruction before we press in because I believe God's given us a little bit of an outline for this. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to press in. I'm going to pray corporately over us. We're all going to pray together for our family members who are down here asking God to move. But this is what I'm going to do after that. Any elders, any deacons, any pastors who are here today, prayer ministers, here's what I'd like to ask. I'd like to ask you after that corporate prayer to come down and meet with these individually, to just begin to pray with someone individually. And do this, please. Ask what the pain is. Okay, God, we need to pray where it's dead and dry, not just, you know, oh, healing. No, God, we want to speak directly to the pain. Ask where the pain is. Pray specifically, calling on God's faithfulness to his word, not on your power, not on our words, not on a service, but on God's faithfulness. And here's the other thing, and this is for those of you who are up front, those of you who are going to be praying with them. Here's the thing. Don't just pray once and walk away. I believe there are times when we can do that, but we don't want to just walk away because that's it. We want to press into the Lord. See, if God's brought freedom, if he's brought freedom, great. Then you be ready to rejoice and share the testimony and the glory of God. But if he hasn't, ask God, do I need to stay here and pray again? Do I need to press in? Do I need to be released and trust you tomorrow and the next day and for weeks to come for this healing? Press into God. Press into God. If you're here at this altar, we will pray with you and partner with you, but you must press in to God. Press in prayer. Let's believe. You might pray two or three times this morning for freedom before God releases you. And I encourage you to do that. Church, this is your family. Man, the awesome thing is if you have Jesus Christ alive inside of you right now, it's us agreeing together. It's not me. It's not a leader. It's not a pastor who prays. But we as a church are going to believe that God does what he says. Amen? That's how we pray. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to do this. Then after I lead us in a corporate prayer, I'm going to lead us in a song that really is a call for God to send his rain. It's a song God gave me a few weeks ago. I wrote it and been working with our worship teams on it. But it's really just a call for God to send his rain. And we're going to continue to unite our voices in prayer, asking God to come and rain down through that song. Amen. So would you just extend your hands to those here at the front? If you're seated, if you're up here at the front, would you just respond to the Lord and just begin to ask him personally for him to send his rain? And I'm going to begin to lead us in prayer. Father, I thank you so much that God, you are alive, that the victory is won, that because of the cross and the grave that you overcame, the death that no longer has control, we can come to you. God, we can approach you and your throne. That, Father, you can look down at your children right now, and you don't have to be just high and exalted, but you can be here, lowly, in their pain, in their depths. You can reach down to the bottom of the pain, and you can transform it. It says in Psalms, you're a God who changes darkness into light. God, you don't just push it aside, you change it. God, you don't just make something go away. You take what's life-giving and you make it life-changing. God, you make it life-giving. God, you transform it. And God, we're standing here not on a prayer. We're not standing in faith on a belief in something we can do. We're standing in you, that you're a God who does what you say. And if you declare today that you would bring freedom from pain, you would do it. We stand believing in that, Lord. And I pray over each person here who's responded to you, who is pressing in for your reign. Father, would you rain down on your children? Father, would you rain down on these who have come and said, God, I don't know how to get rid of this pain. I don't know how to deal with this pain. I can't change it. I can't do anything with it. Father, would you come and rain down on your children? God, would you come, bind the pain, bind the wounds and the lies, bind the oppression and the depression that this pain has caused. In the name of Jesus, pain, we speak to you that you would be bound, that the Son of Man, the Son of God would be loosed to come in and bring freedom in this place. God, I pray for a divine exchange of those two things, a divine exchange of pain of your freedom for pain, God, that you would make that happen in these hearts. Lord, we stand again agreeing that you would come and rain down. God, let your power come today. You said it wouldn't just be a word that would be spoken. You said we wouldn't just read through Isaiah, but we would live it, God. God, this is the season of rain you declared of a cornerstone. So we believe that you would come and rain. Come and rain, Lord. Come and rain on this people. Come and rain. God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. God, let it be done in this place. Let it be done today. Let it be done in these lives as it is in heaven. God, that if you would turn and you would turn your face to them, if you are willing, God, you've already declared you are, if you are willing to turn and touch them, God, only to send a shadow on them that they would be healed, that they would be set free. God, we believe you're a God who presses into us. We believe you're a God who sends your rain in seasons of rain. We believe you're a God who does what he says. So we ask now that you would rain down on these your people. God, rain down in these deserts and let them become fertile lands. Let them be transformed, Jesus. Come, turn the darkness into light. Let there be an everyday change, an everyday breakthrough. Let there be an everyday work that you do in these hearts. God, that today would be a turning point, a transition point. God, it wouldn't even, I take that back, Lord. Don't make it a turning point. Make it a death, burial, and resurrection into something new they could never do. God, let it be a time when they take off the old clothes of pain and they put on the new clothes of freedom. God, let it be done in the name of Jesus. Let it be done in his power and what he's done for us. Not in us, not in our prayers. In the name of Jesus, we ask for these things. God, we ask for your rain to come. Jesus' name. Continue to press into prayer. We're going to continue as a church to pray for our body as the worship team comes to lead us. I'm going to ask the elders and pastors if you would begin to now go and meet with people one-on-one and just begin to pray. Ask for the pain specifically. Let's believe for God to really send his rain. We're going to press in and continue to pray for his rain. If you would just sing this prayer with us, that God will continue to rain down. Come, Lord.